It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
Hey, it's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, and it's time for the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. This is our weekly segment where we feature CEOs and entrepreneurs telling their stories so we can better understand ours. Tonight, Matt Moog. Moog has been a fixture in Chicago's startup community, both as a founder and CEO of companies like CoolSavings.com and Built in Chicago, but also as an angel investor who was behind creating the fund Firestarter. Moog's latest is called Power Reviews, a company that he acquired and merged with his company Viewpoints back in 2014. It's a consumer products review platform, giving consumers the ability to become advocates, but also giving businesses the tools they need to manage and display those reviews. And if you've bought anything online, you know the power of the customer review. It's now essential before anyone buys anything. Moog has had quite a career in the business, acquiring, merging, surviving the dot-com bust. He even helped create MSN for Microsoft back in the mid-90s. He started his own companies. He's been part of corporate America, and he's been a leader in the tech industry here in Chicago for over 20-plus years. And he is my guest tonight in Downloading Chicago Business. Matt, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Justin.
All right, so let's get to Power Reviews. Let's start with this guy. I mean, it's amazing to think about how when you started your company, Viewpoints, consumer reviews were still on the fringe, where it was something where you wanted to get that in front of people because that could help with the bottom line. But now, I mean, it is essential. I mean, with Amazon and other places, people don't buy anything without customer reviews.
Yeah, that's really what happened. I mean, Amazon made them popular initially, and more companies have adopted them, and that's led to more consumers expecting them to be there. And now it's at the point where over 90% of consumers won't make a purchase unless there's reviews there.
Does that surprise you?
Well, it certainly surprises me how ubiquitous it's become. And when we talk to customers, retailers, brands around the world, there's never an argument about whether or not they need reviews. It's just the key is getting coverage, getting enough reviews that there's a critical mass and it's credible.
And I would also assume that at one point or another, it became crowdsourcing at best and worst. We've seen that a little bit with Yelp and other places where customer reviews were great, but they also were bad. You had situations where you couldn't control if you were a business, if somebody gave you a nasty review for whatever reason, personal perhaps.
Sure.
You couldn't control it. But with your company and others, it's really also about managing those reviews so companies can get the right reviews to the right consumers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we focus an awful lot on authenticity and fraud and things like that to make sure that the reviews are authentic. So the vast majority of reviews we collect are from verified purchasers of the product. So it is different for local reviews of local businesses. It's harder to verify that they were an actual customer. For product reviews, it's much easier to know that they actually own the product and they're not associated with it, et cetera.
Are you surprised that the business that you're in, that you started with Viewpoints almost a decade now, has blown up in the way that now people think of marketing and they think of even any business practice online, they have to have customer reviews? And I would assume there aren't a lot of competition, or maybe there are more than ever now than when you started.
Yeah, well, when you've been in this business for long enough, you start to see reviews absolutely everywhere. You go into the bathroom and it asks you to rate the bathroom. You go onto the subway, it says rate the subway. Travel, books, movies, dining. You realize it's in every facet of society, and we're looking forward to the day when it gets there with healthcare, with education, with government services, so that it's truly everywhere. And the part that we appreciate about it, I guess, is that reviews really bring transparency and accountability to businesses. They help the consumer make a better decision, but they really help the business make better products.
What's the challenge? I mean, I think about the fact that everybody wants to rate everything. Do people wade in too quick if you're a business saying, let's put 5 stars on this and see what happens? I mean, does the technology have to catch up? I mean, what are some of the things that are challenges in this business?
Well, I mean, first I'll start with one thing. What you just said is most people think that the best possible thing would be a 5-star review. All of our research, which we've done with Northwestern University's Spiegel Center, indicates that a five-star review is actually a bad thing because consumers don't trust it.
They don't believe it, right.
Right, so the optimal rating is about a 4.4, 4.5.
A somewhat recommended.
Yeah. They want to see at least that there's some negative reviews. And if there's no negative reviews, they don't believe the rest of them, basically. So we encourage any kind of product owner, business owner, don't be afraid of negative reviews.
A lot of what your business is really circling around is trends and habits. And for you to be in this business, do you think about how you have swayed consumers in a way that at one point I never thought about it? I was taught that in my consumer ed class, you know, in high school. Make sure you read the reviews, you know, make sure you comparison shop. But right. At this point now, it is, I mean, it's just ubiquitous. I mean, there's no other way to shop.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting is every year for the last 20 years when surveys are done, what's really evident is that people trust other people more than they trust corporations or advertising or marketing messages. And that so it's a good trend towards we're making available very authentic opinions of other people so that when you go to buy a product that it's going to be high quality, it's going to be sustainable. It's not going to be that toaster that always frustrates you because it's breaking down or the clothes that don't look good after wearing them once or twice. Mm-hmm. So we see ourselves playing a pretty essential role of helping people spend their money more wisely and buy products that are sustainable.
Do the customers that you have and the businesses that you work with, do they understand that? Are there still some that are holding out saying, I don't need reviews. I've got commercials on the TV.
Like, right.
I mean, are people understanding that it is part and parcel to doing business in 2018?
Yeah. So Power Reviews, we have over 1,000 major businesses around the world who use our platform. And we track about 500 million consumers a month that are consuming those reviews. So we're reaching a half a billion people, right? So yes, there are some businesses that still resist reviews. Many of those are frankly because their business model depends on selling low cost, low quality products, and they don't really want to tell the world that how low quality they are.
That would fall into the challenge category.
Yeah, yes. There's also one category is luxury goods that in many cases, you know, they sort of see themselves as above reviews, but even that those kind of companies are starting to come around. Mm-hmm. But certainly all the major retailers that most of us shop at, most of the major brands that we buy have adopted reviews wholeheartedly. And many of them see it as like the world's greatest focus group. Like this is more product-specific feedback than they've ever received in the history of their company.
Matt Moog's in studio. He's the man behind Power Reviews, which we're talking about the online customer review and how it's changed consumer habits. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the tech community here in Chicago and your career, which is a roller coaster. I mean, it's up and down, and you have such success, and you're one of the leaders in this community. But even your story, which is a success story, there are ups and there are downs when it comes to doing business, not just here in Chicago, but on this planet. Matt Moog is my guest tonight on the Download in Chicago Business. Stay with us.
It's business time.
It's Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. Matt Moog is in studio. Talking about online customer reviews tonight, but also his career. Power Reviews is his company now, but I can go down a list of all of the companies you've been involved with here in Chicago and all around the country, but obviously Viewpoints, CoolSavings.com, Built in Chicago, which is and where we can start the conversation, just really the setup for the tech community as we know it today. A lot of people will look to 1871 and other places and incubators bring people together, but Built in Chicago really was a website early, and it was essentially a forum to bring the tech community together.
Yeah.
How has that evolved? Because at the time, there was it was a much smaller space. Now, I mean, we had Howard in here, Betsy Ziegler in here not too long ago talking about, 13% of Chicago's economy. It has evolved in a way that a lot of people are coming here. So how have you seen the tech community evolve in your time here in Chicago?
Yeah, it's a good question. We started Built in Chicago about 8 years ago, and it was basically a bunch of entrepreneurs at my office with pizza and beer talking about what can we do to help the Chicago tech community grow. And what became really clear is that we just needed a place, a sort of a watering hole for the tech community. So when we needed to hire people or raise money or become known, that there was a way to do that. So we launched Built in Chicago as just an experiment. And shortly into it, we had 5,000, 10,000 users. And Maria Katras, who's the co-founder and CEO, came along, saw it, and saw the potential of it, and took it over. And she said, let me be CEO and grow this thing. And she's done an incredible job. And we now has millions of users. Yeah. And is in six cities around the country and expanding. And it has over 1,000 jobs listed right now on the site and features all the different tech startups. So it's,
you know, for Chicago, it is interesting because this it really is a symbol for Chicago's tech community. But as I mentioned, it's grown and grown. Does it have to change? Does Built in Chicago have to change in the way that there are many, many more players, mm-hmm. and there's much, much more competition? Does it make it harder to have an online community when the community is bustling?
No, I think in some ways it makes it easier because there's just frankly more to talk about and there's more companies. When we first got it started, Marie and I sat down and basically made a list of every tech company in Chicago we could think of and added up how many employees they had. And we came to about 20,000 total employees. And today that number is well over 50,000 people employed by those companies. And it's been growing very, very steadily. And the number of companies every year that get funded, that get started. I led the project to launch 1871. We started Firestarter Fund. But there's now 10, 15 different early stage venture capital funds. So all of those things contribute to that. And honestly, the universities in this area, whether it's Northwestern, U of C, IIT, DePaul, right. Loyola, they're all really on board with computer science programs, design programs, a focus on entrepreneurism. And that's really what fuels a lot of tech ecosystems is a university that is
right.
producing graduates who want to start those kind of businesses.
It's amazing to me because you could track your career back to Microsoft in the mid-90s mm-hmm. and how you have been a part of what is now known as the tech community and you know, capital tech, you know, capital T. But to think about how you envision what could happen in Chicago to what is happening, did they line up? Do you think that at the time, going back to the late 90s, did you say, I see a day when the merchandise mart will be all tech and that this will be a 15% of our economy?
Right.
How do you see how this is growing?
Impossible, I think, to predict the specifics. But I think my premise all along has been there's actually more going on here in technology than certainly the rest of the country realizes, but even sometimes people in Chicago. We're marked by the fact that we have a very diversified economy. There's financial service companies and manufacturing and professional services, and unlike San Francisco and others, where it's sort of dominated by technology.
More balanced here.
So, I would say I always knew we had a lot and we would grow. And there is a flywheel effect that the more entrepreneurs there are, the more people want to come here and work for those companies, the more money, and it really has a virtuous cycle effect to it.
Let me ask you, when Betsy and Howard were in here talking about the future of 1871, a lot of it had to do with being able to bring tech to the corporations, the more mainstream corporations that Chicago has, whether it be the big buildings or McDonald's or anything
sure.
like that.
Sure.
Do you see that as the next frontier for tech community? Not necessarily to just be the startups who disrupt and do their own thing, but to be brought in to modernize the major American companies that everybody knows.
The involvement of the Chicago corporate community is a critical part of the total ecosystem. You need early stage startups. You need fast growing technology companies that employ thousands of people, and you need these big corporations that will buy the companies or employ lots of the workers and have a global footprint and everything else. It goes right along with universities and private equity, and it all has to come together, and they really reinforce each other. The fact that Walgreens and McDonald's and United and Discover and others have moved their e-commerce operations down into the loop is a testament to the talent magnet, basically, that Chicago has been for those kinds of employees.
For you and your career, and I kind of mentioned this right before the break about the roller coaster that has been, but you've worked on several startups, several different initiatives, but also had come from corporate America in the way that you work for Microsoft and other places. There have been success stories and little micro success stories, but there's also been you know, not success stories.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, talk about the roller coaster lifestyle and I guess psychological approach to being an entrepreneur, because it can be the highs of the highs, but it also can be the lows of the lows.
Yeah, I don't know an entrepreneur alive who hasn't experienced some kind of major disruption in their business. And the hallmark is that their perseverance and their grit to get through that and find a way to keep the business going, because there's also unexpected opportunities that come along sometimes out of nowhere that you can be in a position to take advantage of.
Do you have to learn that? I mean, as an entrepreneur, is it do you have to evolve and learn that early on? You're like, oh, my life is over. But then by the sixth time it happens to you, you're like, I've been through this. I know how to weather this.
Yeah, it certainly helps. It certainly helps to know that you've been seriously challenged and you've been through a situation where maybe you had to let some employees go or you lost a lot of business or all kinds of things. I mean, I've been through two major situations where, one, the dot-com bubble burst and we lost 50% of our business basically within a month or two, and our revenues seriously declined. And been through another situation where we were building a website that had millions of users and literally overnight lost half of the users from that. But, you know, these things happen.
I mean, when you think about your career in the future of being in this business, obviously with Power Reviews, but whatever's next, I mean, you fit into the category of serial entrepreneur. What's your psychological approach? I mean, is it all half full, glasses half full with you and businesses, or do you have to have a certain perspective when you get into this work?
Well, I think you've got to have a certain personality, and sometimes you don't know if you have it until you're in the middle of it and how you'll react to it. I would say my general personality is like only the paranoid survive. So I'm never quite happy with any situation, whether it's going great, you wonder what's going to go wrong, or if it's bad, you're just trying to get yourself out of it. People are different. I know some entrepreneurs that are incredibly calm all the time, and I admire that quite a bit. And others that burn themselves out and they're too frenetic. So it's a combination.
Yeah. Matt Moog, serial entrepreneur, investor, and also the man behind Power Reviews, which is the online customer review company out of Chicago, which is not just Chicago, it's San Francisco, it's all around the world. Matt, can't thank you enough for being my guest tonight on the Download Chicago Business. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Justin.